Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, October 9th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 10, the fourth paragraph that begins with ministers. We'll be reading through two paragraphs, ending with the rest I disregarded. We'll be commenting on both those paragraphs. Today's readers are Martha M. will be reading the 12 steps, Reggie O. reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Dion R., Jordan L., and Julie E.B. The share ID for Thursday, October 8th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 15,507. That's 15507. This morning's Friday, October 9th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 15,510. That's 15510. Our newcomer greeter for today is Wendy B., and Kathy Jo P. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Martha M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Martha M. And Reggie O., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in Woodland Hills, California, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Reggio. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 10, the fourth paragraph that begins with ministers. We're reading through two paragraphs, ending with the rest I disregarded, and we'll be commenting on both those paragraphs. So good morning, Dion R. If you could get us started, please.
Yes, good morning, all. How are you guys doing? My name is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater with ministers in the world of religion. I parted right there. When they talked of a God personal to me, who was love, superhuman strength, and direction, I became irritated. My mind snapped shut against such a theory. To Christ, I conceded the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claim him. His moral teachings, most excellent. For him, for myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient, excuse me, and not too difficult. The rest, I disregard. And what I get out of that, this is reminding me, and when I was highlighting, I see a lot of warnings in those two little paragraphs that reminded me I had a closed mind, especially at the bottom of page 10. Talked about I became irritated, my mind snapped shut. What more way of a closed mind than that? I had a closed mind because I did not believe. I don't know. I guess I was agnostic thinking, and I just wasn't for sure if it was a God because I was comparing religious people and things that were happening in the world with the God of my understanding at that time and what I was taught was. I was comparing those to the people that drink. It was either either or. And to me, the people that drank seemed to have more fun. People that ate all the time had more fun. So, and then knowing that ministers and different things because of past history of abuse, I thought they, you know, this is God. Oh, wait, I don't want that. But so when I came into the meeting and heard a lot, my mind did close shut. I mean, it did snap a little bit shut. But after many trial and error, trying to do it my way, trying to find my own food plan, work which steps I wanted, in that part down here where it says, the fact that he saw some part about Christ he enjoyed and love, and some of them he's just like, nah. people don't even follow him, whatever. But he said, in other words, to me, it's like a bill was saying some of the things I took, the other things I disregarded. Remind me of that theory they used to say, take what you like and leave the rest. And I'm sure later on, as we'll find out, he began to pick up more about that stuff that he disregarded and develop his own understanding. And that's what it is with me. And it was and it is now because Christ is my higher power today. And I do believe. And it's only because of working these 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass. And thanks for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Dion R., for getting us started this morning. Okay. So, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs who hasn't shared Wednesday or Thursday?
Christina J.
Becca R.
Sherry KB.
Christina J. Hold on. I'm not writing that fast. Okay. Who came after Christina J. but before Sherry?
Becca R.
Nessa R. Was it Nessa R?
Becca.
Oh, Becca R. Sorry, Becca. And then who came after Sherry K?
Julie.
Who came after Sherry? Julie E.B. Okay. And then, okay.
Robin P.
And Robin P.
Elaine G.
Okay. Let's stop there. That's a great lineup. Okay. So I have Christina J., Becca R., Sherry K. B., Julie E. B., Robin P., and Elaine G. So go ahead, please, Christina J.
Good morning, all. Christina J. from the state of Washington recovered here today. Such a beautiful section we are in here. Here's Bill completely surrendered to the disease and hopeless, as he's never been. He's done fighting, and he's drinking and listening to Ebby. And God is awakening and sprouting the seeds in him from years back as he remembers his experiences with religion and God. He's finally at the place God wants him. He can't go right, left, forward, backward, or up. He can only go down. And as we find out where he is, and he's now at his final bottom. And at this point, this is when God can really get to us. You know, I always felt close to God. I always felt I had a spiritual connection and that God was directing me. When I did things that were morally wrong and I pushed through brick walls to try to make things happen, I forced myself not to listen to that intuitive voice that told me that I was doing something wrong. It wasn't right. That still small voice of reason and wisdom, that same still small voice that would whisper not to take that first bite. I was a master at ignoring that voice and blocking it out and doing what I wanted to do regardless of the outcome. Because I needed that lover, or I needed that goodie. I needed that next good thing that I was sure would get me what I was so desperate for, comfort, love, recognition, acceptance, validation, et cetera, relief from anxiety. I became irritated, and I snapped shut against. Actually, I'm going to tell you something. I forgot to use the word never. I never became irritated, or I never snapped shut against a theory. Or for me, the truth of God. I knew he was love, superhuman and personal to me, but my ego skewed and twisted the word direction. I thought everything that came my way, good or bad, was direction from God. I lived for 50 years so confused as to why God was not giving me my heart's desires and so confused as why food kept calling to me. And then came bankruptcy, going back to the type of work I never thought I would have to go back to. I literally got sick to my stomach when I saw my cubicle. My confusion became poisoned with failure, shame, and guilt that it was all my fault, and I could make no sense of it. It was like trying to see through cotton candy. There was absolutely nothing more I could do to make my lifelong dreams happen. I became like Bill. I came to the end of me, of self, of the I pushing. I gave up. There was no fight left in me like Bill and nothing to fight with. And this, my friends, was the moment I learned about true surrender to God. Every day now, arms up. Eyes closed. God, thy will be done. Perfect? No. But I must do my part to keep it. It's only when this true surrender happens every day in every circumstance with his grace that I can remain peace and emotionally calm and keep my neutrality around food. I feel like I have a true gift. I mean, I didn't realize the enormity of this gift. Thank you. But God, you know, takes what it takes, and God brings us to our knees when we're ready. And I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina J. Okay, Becca R., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And this these paragraphs made me think of a great analogy. And it was when I was a young woman and I was decorating my first house with my husband. And I had been brought up in a home that really valued the specific decor. And so when we're talking about decorating our home, my husband was like, "Do you really like that? Because, you know, honestly, I'm just not a fan." And at first my feelings were hurt, but it really made me wonder and look at it with curiosity. Do I really like that? Or is this what this is all I know? Because that's what I grew up with, and my family valued that type of decor, and that it just reminded me of when I was working the steps the first time as a young woman, and coming to the awakening to kind of envelop my own idea of God. And realizing that everything, every conception I had was based on my experience up until then. You know, it was based on, you know, how I was raised. But there was something about, and I think the previous speaker said that still small voice. Like I'd always had that and felt that. And sometimes it didn't line up with what I thought I believed or how I was raised. And so coming to program and getting through the steps, and again, just exploring the idea of God and what is God and personal to me with curiosity instead of preconceived ideas, and looking at different ways that people have done it, which we got a great tool. You know, all those stories in the back of the book are to show me examples of how other people have come to find and know and establish a relationship with God. And so I was able to start looking at that with a curiosity. And I could just relate so much to that, to those two paragraphs. I think Bill was raised by his grandparents, and a lot of his beliefs and ideas were rooted in their beliefs and their ideas. And at this moment, when he's with Ebby, he's starting to question, like, maybe there's more. That's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Becca R. Good morning, Sherry KB. It is your turn, followed by Julie EB.
Good morning, Kathleen O. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thanks so much for your service, Kathleen, and everybody on the line and Team Friday. Welcome, newcomers. And I'm just going to dive right in here. You know, I could not identify in with this paragraph. And so my disease always wants me to identify out. So I had to find another way to identify into this paragraph. And I heard this, and just to let you know, none of us come up with these brilliant ideas. We hear them from somebody else. Just want to tell you that. So I heard this about, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, and it stuck. So this is how this paragraph was read. To OA, I conceded the certainty of a great program, but not too closely followed by those who are in the room. The moral teachings of the 12 steps, most excellent. But for myself, I adopted those parts of the program which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded. So that take what you like and leave the rest, I heard that, I don't know, I can't tell you how many years ago. And I certainly took advantage of taking what I like and left the rest. And then I heard, I don't know, many years later, take what you like and think about the rest. So, I'm in charge now. fast forward going through this book, having a step guide, take what you like and let and give God the rest so that God could help me decide what I needed to do. And from that, fast forward, currently, is that I realized that I'm really getting to understand that, no human power can relieve me of this disease. And if I sit there and try to control this and make it mine, it's never going to work. But if I turn my will and my life over to the care of God, the God of my understanding, the God that I could live with one day at a time that can get me through the step work and through everything in life, then I'm going to be okay. And what I also noticed is that I have to turn my self-will over to my higher power every day throughout the day. My self-will is a voice of my disease. And I realized that part of my ego, all of my ego is my disease. So I have to face my not only being abstinent every morning to make sure I stay abstinent, but I need to give God my ego because my ego is the one that wants me to identify out, doesn't want me to get this, wants to tell me that it isn't that bad. I'm not as bad as you are. And you know what? That has gotten in my way so much. And I am so grateful to, yes, I've learned a lot of things, but I need to stay humble and stay teachable. And that's what I do know. So I do take what I like and give God the rest, and I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, Julie EB, good morning. You're up next, followed by Robin P.
Hi, this is Julie EB, gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and 81 degrees today. With a light wind, beautiful day. And I'm really grateful for my recovery today that there's not really one bite of food that's worth giving up the peace of mind that my higher power gave me as I just started with the basic abstinence I knew and stayed open and willing. Like everyone, for me and my addiction, I parted. I love this section, I parted right there. I am in a religious profession. I have a degree in religion, but when they talk about a God personal to me, a lot of times in program I would hear, you need a bigger God, you need a bigger God. And I did in some ways need a bigger God, but I needed a God more personal to me, as I like to phrase it. I have this lower power voice that tells me I'm nothing, that tells me to be afraid, that tells me I have to be angry at the world, that I have to part ways with religion, I have to part ways with other ideas, I have to part ways that things don't work with me, I have to part ways with love, I have to part ways with hope that there might be some direction in my life besides what I can see right now. Of course, I get irritated, and so I part ways right there, and I need Ed. That higher power for me not to be big, but a kinder power, more personal to me, that would interrupt that lower power voice that would say to me today, oh, you don't have to go, you know, to the hospital today and help more people die of COVID. You can't handle that, Julie. And instead just listen to that voice more personal to me that says, I will give you whatever you need. And I'm very grateful today that just by working these steps, coming to believe, this is not an instantaneous process. It's a process of abandon, giving up completely. I tried all my ways, and my power that's very personal to me was there to meet me. And I know that's true for me, and I know that if that happened for me, that can happen for you too. So thanks for letting me share, and feel free to reach out. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Julie B. Okay, Robin P., you're up next, followed by Elaine G.
Thanks so much, Stephanie, for your service. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Tulum, Mexico. And I'm so grateful to read Bill's story because it just
it's just such a guide for me. You know, I worshipped food. Food was my God. And I grew up in so much child abuse that it looked like whoever was the scariest force in the room won. So if there was a God and there was a Satan, it always looked like that's the force that won. And I grew up an atheist, and it was really when I saw God on the walls, when I first came to my first meeting, I thought, oh no, they've just substituted one addiction for another, one crutch for another. And I was so devastated, and because I was so desperate for help. And I, you know, somebody just said, just any power that's greater than your current God, which is food. Because I went to food when I was happy, sad, scared, mad, had a feeling, oh no, here's a feeling, you know, whatever it was. Just that was my go-to God. And so to let myself be reprogrammed to a God that works. And I get to use all the steps and give service and have a sponsor and heal and grow. And now I get to meditate instead of self-medicate, you know, and grow. And I don't have hangovers when I meditate. I don't have hangovers when I use the steps and the tools. There's a solution that works. And, you know, but for that to happen, my mind had to open instead of snap shut, because I was so used to having a snap shut. And that definition of insanity, doing that same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result, this time my God would work. So I'm so grateful. I actually had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety that led me to the Lord as I understand him today. And, you know, I'm very, very grateful for all of the support and love that I feel both from my Heavenly Father and from my friends. And I always think of the cross. You know, if I just only had a vertical line up to God, that would just be a vertical line. If I only had a horizontal line to other people, it would just be a horizontal line. And for me, that's a symbol that I need to stay in connection with God and my fellows. That's how it works for me. And I'm really grateful for this meeting. I'm so profoundly grateful to be abstinent and in recovery today through so many changes and a lot of what feel like of myself, I'm nothing. You know, I could never have done this without the program and without God. This was a big change for us. So God bless everybody with a very abstinent, blessed day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. And before I take you, Elaine G., just a reminder that we are on page 10 in the big book, the fourth paragraph that begins with ministers. We're reading through two paragraphs, ending with the rest I disregarded. And after Elaine G., I'll be able to take some more names. So go ahead, please, Elaine.
Hi, this is Elaine G., incredibly grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Florida. And my higher power is moving in my heart to share the experience tied similarly to what we've read today in a revelation and part of doing the steps. And he showed me an image of a hand, and in the hand were all these small little black dots that were not recognizable. I had no idea what they were. And in my time in speaking with him, I said, God, you're going to have to be clear because I don't understand what this picture is. And he says, well, you remember when you came in how you had no faith, and I dropped my faith in God when my daughter was 9 and she's now in her 30s. So that was a stumbling block for me to come in. And I said, yes, I remember that. I remember that. And he says, well, all those little dots in my hand that you see, they're every living being that's in the universe. And they're in my hand, whether they know they're in my hand or they're not there. And he said, when you left, quote unquote left, he said, you were still in my hand. I never threw you out. In your mind, you were there and you weren't there, but I always watched over you. And he revealed to me memories where, without a doubt, a lot of people will say it was a guardian angel, but without a doubt, it was him watching over me. And I'm so grateful that the process of step two to take me to step two, that he revealed that image to me. Because without that image, I don't think I would be as close to him as I am today. And I'm so grateful for all the shares and all the encouragement and the service from everybody in this group, because I wouldn't be recovered at this moment. And I'm so humbled that he feels I am worthy to do service on his behalf from my fellows. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine G. Okay, who else would like to share, who hasn't shared in the last 3 days, on these two paragraphs, page 10, the fourth paragraph with ministers, ending in the second paragraph, the rest I disregarded on the top of page 11.
Bonnie D.
Bonnie D.
Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie.
Carla N.
Carla N. Anyone else? Okay, we'll stop there for now. Bonnie D, Sherry Jo C, and Carla N. We'll be able to take some more names after. So go ahead, Bonnie D. Star one to unmute, Bonnie.
This is Bonnie D in California. D as in David, recovered. Segueing on yesterday also, I had always thought there was a God, but I wondered, where was this supreme being during the pain and cruel times with my family of origin? But I learned strength through their chaos and drama. One time I wanted to escape the horror. I was about 12, crawling out the window and felt stopped in my tracks. Some force said, no, this is not the way to go. I felt directed to go back in, endure, and learn from the pain. I was always hungry. My family thought food was my problem. Food restriction was their attempt to control. I didn't know they were addicts and overeaters. Fear was pressed into me. I did not eat nutritious foods. Tricks was breakfast. My brother never shared the Cocoa Puffs, and I craved chocolate, my downfall. Even in grammar school, I found food was the solution. I grabbed what little I could. I snitched a box of Jell-O and ran out to the woods and sat under a tree, licking my finger for ease and comfort. I ate. I got a zing from the sugar and felt steady by protein. But God sees and comforts, is what I've found through step 10 and the conscious contact with God. Now it brings freedom from the buildup of human emotions. For so long, I hung out in the void, seeking God, asking, and not finding. Now I know I never gave up my will. Dad told me, don't try to do it, do it. I was taught self-will. But now, after working the steps and several programs, OA being the strongest at this time, I have a conscious contact. Again, when I was 11 or 12, Dad took us to church to help with the family problems. It was difficult to see God there. I saw cake, and we went to the donut shop after. Church was a treat day. I judged and saw hypocrisy. Now I have a relationship with power, the God of my understanding. I did not give up. I was seeking and not finding through low times and high times, and now for the most part, I'm neutral. I'm grateful for the freedom I find through God's love. Freedom and being neutral is a gift as I get right-sized. Being fit spiritually is a one-day-at-a-time thing. At church, I heard God is love. I felt a power, but that's all I could reason through then. And off
time,
to
please.
The donut shop. Then off to the donut shop. Thank you. Now I know where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom, even freedom from food obsession. I am grateful to all who have gone before. I can find God in religion, natural forces, creation, the mysteries of the universe, and even in my fellow human beings. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Bonnie D. Okay, Sherry Josie, it is your turn, followed by Carla N.
Good morning. This is Sherry Josie, recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Thanks so much. Gosh, I'm just so relieved to get to this section. The first part of Bill's story is so harrowing. It's just, I don't know, reading it again with all of you, it just really hit me even harder what we all go through when we're in the clutches of the addiction. And, you know, this section, you know, I don't really think I had a conception of a higher power that could be personal to me until I started working the steps with my sponsor when I got abstinent, when I came into the program. It's funny, I think what's happening here, though, I mean, I want to talk just a little bit about what my experience was then, but also what I think is what Bill's trying to get across in these paragraphs, at least for me, is that I think what he's trying to say is that we have to get to a point where we reflect on our lives. I mean, this is the first time, I mean, he's been just going 100 miles an hour before this, right? I mean, he's in the grip of the addiction. He can't stop. He can't stop from starting. But at this point, he's defeated. And in a way, it seems like it even opens up his mind where he can begin to reflect a little bit. I mean, he's stopped in his tracks, and he can reflect. And he's starting to examine his life. And I think, you know, Bill and the others in the early program are going to, you know, they're going to write the steps, and it's going to be a step two, you know, came to believe. And, you know, going through this process of being able to reflect within my own mind to stop the addiction long enough to just even reflect. And, you know, for me, I mean, I did put the plug in the jug. I came into the program, and I am not one of those people that could have continued compulsive eating and found a spiritual experience. I know that some people say that that is how it happens for them, but for me personally, I had to stop. My eating behavior was like a wrecking ball, and I couldn't think straight. There's no way. But once I got abstinent, it opened up a pretty big space for something to come in because I was so desperate. And I remember my sponsor saying to me, working step two, okay, so this was 1989, and back then people smoked and thought nothing of it. And I remember sitting at her kitchen table. She was smoking a cigarette. She took a big, long drag on her cigarette. And she said to me, she said, you know, she shared what her sponsor had shared with her. She said, God loves you more than you could ever love yourself or anybody else and wants nothing but the best for you, better than you could ever imagine. And something happened to me when I heard that. Something in me softened and opened up, or I don't even know what happened. I don't even need to understand what happened. But what Bill's saying here, when he thought of God, he became irritated and his mind snapshot. And I had always been like that. But this was the first time, thank you, this was the first time that my mind had opened, and then everything just started blossoming from there. And that is still the God that I have today, all love and all caring of me and all knowing of what I need to do in my life to live and be of use. So thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry Josie. And I just want to remind everyone, before I take you, Carla, we are on page 10, the fourth paragraph. We're reading through two paragraphs this morning, and I'll be able to take a couple more names after Carla N. So go ahead, please, Carla N.
Good morning. This is Carla N. Recovered in Santa Barbara, California. And I just want to say it's so nice to share on this meeting. It's been a long time. And what a perfect chapter to be jumping into. And for me, I spent so much of my life pre-program and then early program really picking fights with and not necessarily literally, but in my mind, picking fights with ministers, the world religions, and then leaving it right there. Like I just couldn't get past what God wasn't for me. God wasn't this and God wasn't that, and what a silly conception this person or that person had of God. But what I've realized is that was my ego getting in the way of my recovery and masquerading as like being a critical thinker, being an intellectual, being all these things, which ultimately kept me in the food. Like it kept me seeking something else as my higher power, which was definitely not, you know, a real higher power. I was seeking sugar and fullness and that kind of intoxication as my higher power. And I didn't know that at the time. But gosh, what freedom comes from letting go of all those preconceptions and those ideas that I know better than these people who've been living with faith and, you know, and surrender and practice for so long, like really recognizing that that this program is indeed broad, roomy, and all-inclusive when it comes to developing your own relationship with a higher power and getting hung up on what higher power was and wasn't. You know, and picking apart other people's conceptions of higher power was missing the point entirely. And so, you know, I got recovered by surrendering and by practicing, by focusing less on, you know, drawing up this like perfect vision of what a higher power is, this airtight, you know, story of what higher power was in my life, and just surrendering to the, like it says in the earlier paragraph.
Time, please.
Anyway, you know, this like little doubt that mighty purpose and rhythm underlay it all. I could surrender to the rhythm and mighty purpose and put my faith and my actions in that realm. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carla N. So do we have anyone that would like to share on these two paragraphs, page 10, the fourth paragraph, through two paragraphs that hasn't shared on Wednesday or Thursday?
I would.
Jana R. Jana R. Okay. Heard Jana R. And who is the man before?
Larry G.
Okay. Hi, Larry G. And Jana R. was it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Larry R. Or, sorry, Larry G. Go ahead, Larry.
That's okay. People have called me worse. My name is Larry G. I'm from Northern California. Thank you for giving service. Yeah, Bill is about to surrender, and it's not pretty, right? He's a hopeless drunk like I was a hopeless compulsive eater. I would like to say, you know, I came to this program with grace and dignity, and that I've been praying on my knees for months for surrender. But the fact of the matter is I came in this program on May 17th this year after a 40,000-calorie prodigious binge on Friday with frothy emotional appeal on Saturday, and then on Sunday right back in the food. So I was done. And like Bill, he's done. You know, I can never manufacture anything of my own. I've tried, but I've never been able to manufacture surrender. I can't go to like a 4-day intensive seminar or read a book. I don't know how surrender works. It's one of those mysteries of the universe. But I did surrender totally on May 17th. And today I can say I'm entirely absent. I am recovered. It's a miracle. I can't believe it. But prior to that, you know, I'm on the 12-step programs, and I've turned my life and will over to the other programs. But when it came to food, there's no way I was going to turn my will and food over to God. When I thought of turning my will and food over to God, I thought of having like a cup of fruit for breakfast, a salad with lemon juice on it for lunch, and a plain piece of chicken for dinner. You know, and one time this woman very wisely said, Larry, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to Safeway. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Go to your favorite crack house, get what you want, go home, put that on a chair and then get on your knees because that's your God. And I bristled at that. I was pissed. You know, I mean, don't you know who you're talking about here? I'm Bill W. I have a God. But the truth is, food was my God. And I'll tell you the greatest gift, and I'll stop here. The greatest gift for visions is visions has helped me to find God and put food in its right place. Thank you, visions, and thank you for giving service. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. Okay, Jana R., go ahead.
Hi, this is Jana R. from Ohio, and I'm so grateful. I identify with so much. It's incredible, and what I heard is what I learned in program is that there is nothing wasted in God's economy. And the invitation to reflect and turn around has been one in my life for years. And I came into program when I was in grad school. And because of my degree and some family concerns, the first 12-step meeting I went to was an AA meeting because I wanted to learn more. And they handed me a free big book and a hug and said, "Welcome home." And, of course, I said, "Oh, I'm not here for me." And I put that book on my dorm room shelf. A year later, I end up in OA because I had my Ebby come and tell me that I have a disease. I just thought I couldn't stop binging. And the very first OA meeting, they had a newcomer meeting in a separate room, and the woman said she hadn't had this food in 10 years. And I thought, oh, I won't be doing that. I can't stop eating that. And another thing, oh, no, I won't be doing that either. Well, it took me a while to get it, but a few meetings later, I come home, and I look at that big book. It's almost like a white light. And I said out loud, I said, "What is that book doing on my shelf?" And I knew that I was finally home. And the God of my understanding has been healed because of the 12-step program. I had such a small God, a God I thought I just had to, be the best woman or little girl I could in my life. And I'm so grateful that my God is huge, huge. And now I know God does care about me and my joy and my sanity. And I don't have to worship the food today. The gift of neutrality is truly a miracle. And I'm growing in self-love more every day, which is the hugest gift, because then I can stop thinking about myself and start giving God's love away. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Jana R. And we have about 2 minutes. Would anyone like to take the last 2 minutes?
Janice K.
Great. Thanks, Janice. Go ahead, please.
Oh, boy. I am so grateful for the last, especially for this page. Every once in a while, I take notes. Ha ha. Once in a while. Frequently. The top half of page 10 has a note saying, "Bill Fitz, Ebby Talks." The second half of page 10 has a question for me. What did your parents' family upbringing teach you verbally and nonverbally about God? Oh boy. So I answered that. And I found out food was not my God. Food was never my God. Food was just a coping technique. If I had to pray to who I really thought was God, it would take a life-size picture of myself. Because God is what saves me. And if I rely on myself to save me, then I am usurping God. I have this incredible self-filling ego. I swear the thing is self-inflating. If I could do it with tires, I'd make a fortune. But I keep letting the hot air out, and it keeps going back. And every day, I have to let it out again, or even more frequently. When I was doing the 10th step, someone suggested setting a timer every 2 hours to check in with God. And it's like, yeah, if I'm lucky, I'll make it for 2 hours at a stretch without this ego cropping up and getting in the way. As was said earlier, I cannot manufacture surrender. Surrender is not an act. It becomes a lifestyle. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. And thank you everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to Team Friday, Martha M., Reggie O., Dion R., Jordan L., Julie E.B., Wendy B., and Kathy Jo P. Thank you for being on the team this morning and doing service and all your shares. So grateful to everyone. So we're now going to have Jordan L., if you would please read A Vision for You on page 64.
Yeah. Good morning, Kathleen, and everyone else. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.